Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at riviereagseeds.ca.
Let's hit the music first before we get to our guest here. There we go. Notre Dame alum Tim Brown joining us. Now, Tim, as we pot the music down, could you sing any of your fight song for me? Do you know any of the words?
Do I know any of the words?
Yeah,
come on, man.
Can you sing some for me?
I'll just give you a little bit of cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes, cheer in the name. That's all you need.
That's all I need. I love it, Tim. That's great. Tim Brown joining us. Now, Tim, growing up as a guy here in Canada, a CFL fan, but I'm an NFL fan too. And the two guys I love to watch in the 80s and the 90s, my favorite team is the San Diego Chargers. I still call them that. And Junior Seau was my guy. And I understand you guys were friends. And then I love Tim Brown, number 81 Tim Brown. And oddly enough, Tim Brown, his first play in the NFL is a kick return against my team for a touchdown. What do you remember about that play?
I remember everything about that play. You know, it was everybody was saying that Tim Brown couldn't do what he did in college and NFL. So my very first play, I ever touched the ball, I put all that to rest. So I remember saying after the game, if I never return another kick in the NFL, you guys can't ever say I didn't do it. And it was the only kick I ever returned for 2 years. So... but at least I did it once.
And you did it against my team, and I remember watching that game too. Hard to be mad when 81 was burning down the field. Hey, you got a book out called The Making of a Man. Who helped you become the man you are? Who in football helped you become the man you are?
I think when you look at the football portion of this, you know, I had great guys like Marcus Allen, man, Howie Long, that certainly showed you the way, showed you how to work hard, showed you how to do things right in the locker room and, you know, take care of your teammates at all times, no matter what was going on. At Notre Dame, you know, things were just so different. You had a bunch of guys who were really all on the same page. But when you get to the NFL, you got different levels of guys. And you really have at that particular time, you have a group of have and a group of have not. So, watching Marcus and how we assimilate themselves with everybody in the locker room was something that was very beneficial for me for my whole career.
Tim Brown joining us, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and of course LA/Oakland Raider, wrapped up his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In hindsight, Tim, do you wish you would have just ended your career as a Raider and not gone to the Bucs?
Well, that was the plan, but the Raiders weren't good with that plan. I was planning on that being my last year, but they had other plans. So I came back and signed a 1-day contract, to retire as a Raider. But I was very thankful for Tampa because it gave me a very soft place to land. I didn't expect to happen what had happened when I got to training camp that year. So it sort of caught me off guard. And having a place like that with Gruden and Bruce Allen, who were down there, Charlie Garner was down there, Stitchcomb, big offensive lineman was down there. So I had guys down there who I was very familiar with, and it just made it a lot easier to go out and play this game and knowing that was going to be my last year, but being a comfortable environment.
Tim, what is closer to your heart, being the only receiver to win the Heisman Trophy or Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Desmond Howard won it a couple years after I won it. Yeah. So he became the second.
I guess you were the first. Yeah.
Yeah, I was the first. Yeah. I tell people all the time, obviously, winning the Heisman is a huge deal because only one player is getting that award every year. And, it's just such a major, major deal. But the thing with the Heisman is, you can literally come out of nowhere, have a great year, and ended up winning the Heisman. You look at, you know, Kyler Murray. You know, Kyler had been in college, been in a couple colleges, and really hadn't done anything, but came out this year, had an incredible year, and deservedly so, won the Heisman Trophy. So, but the thing about the Hall of Fame is, man, you got to put year after year after year after year after year back to back to back to back. So I think, you know, when you stand and look at the both of them, certainly I'm certainly proud of the Heisman, but you know, I put in a whole bunch of work and sweat and tears and all that kind of stuff to end up in the NFL Hall of Fame. So that's something that I can be very, very proud of.
Where is that gold jacket?
Always in my closet, man. Always, you know, I got a couple of them at all times. So I always got it in my closet.
How long do you got to sit for them to make that bust of you? Like, how long do you got to sit in a chair for them to kind of chisel that likeness out for you?
Oh, man, it was at least 6 hours, maybe closer to eight. Yeah, it was, you know, they gave you a little lunch break, but other than that, man, you're sitting in the chair the whole time. And it was pretty detailed stuff, man. But, you know, hey, man, for that, I would have sat in the chair for 24 hours straight, you know what I mean? So,
No kidding. You still got to pinch yourself that you're actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
You know, I think, you know, I waited for 6 years to get in, so...
Yeah,
I think I was good and ready to get in once I got in, but you know, still, once you get in and you understand exactly where you are, it made it that much more difficult to you know, to believe it at times, you know. So, but yeah, it's, you know, I mean, look, I know I put the work in and was deserving of it, and I had to wait a little bit, but once I got in, I was very happy to be in, no doubt.
Hey, Tim Brown, so you look at the money being spent now. The money, Antonio Brown just got $30 million guaranteed from the Raiders. Do you wish you would have played in this era and made that kind of cash?
Man, I tell you what, bro, it's remarkable what they're doing. You know, it's, and, you know, I just need these young guys to know that this is happening because of their birthday, okay? And that's it has nothing to do that they're so much better than the guys who was before them. But it's because of when you've been born, you know. So it's like, you know, we made a whole bunch of more money than the guys in the 60s and the 70s. So, but, you know, I mean, NFL is a beast right now, you know. You got, you know, no matter what may happen on or off the field, you got people who want to be a part of it. And you know, that being the case, you know, it makes it, you know, makes it a contract because salary cap just keeps going up and up and up every year.
This is one of the greatest receivers, one of the greatest players in NFL history, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Tim Brown, taking time out of his schedule to join us. You know, today's athlete, not all of them, but it seems like, you know, when Tim Brown played, he was a hard worker and he was humble, part of making a man. How do you feel about the arrogance of some of the athletes today?
You know, it's tough to take. It is tough to take, man, but, you know, that's my thoughts and my, you know, what I would express about it. But, you know, it's really up to the teams, it's up to the sponsors, it's up to, you know, the shoe deal people that they have, you know, deals with. It's up to those guys to really set the line of where they, what they're going to take and what they're not going to take. Because believe me, if these guys thought that it would affect their bottom line outcome, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think anybody has been in a position where, you know, the shoe company said, hey, if you do this again, you know, you're going to be fined or we're going to drop you or whatever, you know, or a team has, you know, done something, you know, like that. So it's tough, man. You know, they know the money is out there. They know if one team won't do it, the other team will do it. It only takes one. Yeah. And everybody's dependent on that one to pick him up. And same with Antonio Brown. I don't think anybody thought he would be with the Raiders, but this thing sort of came out of nowhere and he's sitting with one of the best contracts in the league for a wide receiver right now.
What do you think of Antonio Brown on the trade to the Raiders? What do you think of that whole deal?
Well, you know, look, I mean, you got a guy who is ranked number one or two in every category since he's been in the league, and now it's just a matter of how hungry is he. You know, is a guaranteed money enough to get him to chill out? You wouldn't think so because he should have a whole bunch of money in the bank. But, you know, I think if this guy is coming to prove people wrong or prove or help this team win, you know, he certainly has the talent to do that, but it's just a matter of now. And that's the very difficult thing about what's happening in the NFL now. You know, you don't know what the trigger is going to be for these guys to turn that spigot off. And so, you know, is getting the contract the deal that turns it off? Is it you know, winning the Super Bowl? What turns it off for these guys? But so hopefully, you know, he's still running hot and he wants to get this thing going. And if he does, I think, I think the Raiders have something special this year.
Two combustible personalities there, though. Like, Gruden has his own way of thinking, and obviously Antonio has his own way of thinking. And Gruden's gone down this path before with Keyshawn Johnson. It worked out famously the first year in Tampa, but by the second year, he was deactivated for the last seven games and ended up in Dallas. Like, how do you see this marriage going? I feel like it'll be great the first year, and then I wonder if Gruden wears on AB and the other way around, too.
Well, you know, I was asked that question before, and I sort of said, you know, this is a very difficult offense for Keyshawn. This is not a run down the field and jump over somebody's head and catch the ball or run a deep slant type offense. You know, this is offense where you have to, you know, run a 5-yard crossing route and double move that guy on that 5-yard crossing route. You know, those are not the routes Keyshawn wants to run all the time. Running the 12, 14, 15-yard basic cross, you know, across the middle of the field, that's just not his game. So I can see how he could have been very easily frustrated in his offense, especially being the go-to guy, because the go-to guy is going to be asked to do a whole bunch of you know, route running in this offense. So that being said, I don't think that's going to be a problem with Antonio Brown. You know, I don't think, you know, when you watch him, he obviously has the ability to run all those kind of routes. And so, you know, I think if they're going to be talking on the sideline, you know, they may be disagreeing about stuff, but I don't think it's going to be a frustration point where, you know, anything may blow up between the two of them.
Do you know much about the CFL?
No, I don't know much. I mean, every once in a while I'll catch a game. You know, it was a little attention last year because of Manziel being up there. And,
yeah.
You know, I was actually with Rocket Ismail yesterday, mm-hmm. and we talked a little bit about his time up in Canada. So, really haven't paid that close attention to it, but I always thought it was a fascinating game, what they do up here.
Where can they find your book, Tim, The Making of a Man?
Oh, man, you can still find it on Amazon or go to HarperCollins.com, and it's my publisher, and they will always have it available there.
Tim, thanks for taking time out of your schedule. Really appreciate it. It was a pleasure, okay?
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, that's Tim Brown, former Heisman Trophy winner and all-time Raider receiver. He's seventh in the NFL in receiving and in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca.
Well, it's time now to speak with Kelly Bates as we head out on the phone line. Bates, a former CFLer, not only as a player but a coach. Coach in the university ranks as well. Former U of S Husky player, and he runs each year in the spring a football camp in his native Humboldt. Kelly, now, just before we get to your football camp, are you taking a year out of football, at least at the pro level?
Yeah, it looks like we'll take a year out at the pro level. Last year was my first year experiencing, you know, living away from the family full time, and it's not something I'm really interested in doing again, at least not at this point in time. And it's a definitely something we choose in the profession we do, but try and stick a little closer to home this year. And really, we're pretty spoiled living out here in Vancouver, so a lot of family time, and see if I can be a useful father.
Yeah, that's good, man. Hey, you have your head screwed on straight, as it were. But you know what? You like to give back to other kids too. So, Kelly, let's talk about your football camp. First off, how many years now for you in this camp?
I believe this is year 13.
Year 13. Now, in terms of some of the guys you have helped you out in the past, can you give us the names of some of the guys
that
have come out?
You know what? We've been so fortunate because this camp comes right before the CFL season kicks off. And in the past, it's been former teammates, coaches, you know, guys that are about to really take on a job that's a seven-day-a-week job. And as I said, it takes away from family. It takes away from everything if you don't wish to be a part of it. And people come out to Humboldt and give their time and you know, really for the love of the game, because it's not a high paying gig, but it's such you know, such a great event to be a part of, because it's the community of football. And we've had some big names. You know, we've had, you know, the Dave Dickinsons, the Jason Claremonts, the Baron Miles, and you know, just on and on down the list, guys that I, you know, was fortunate to play with, play against, and you know, the Mike Riley's been out there. It just The list goes on, and we're so very fortunate every year when these people come out.
Did you have the camp? You know, we know what happened in Humboldt. Did you have the camp last year, or did you take a break from it last year?
You know, we still did the camp, but we really let that be dictated by the people around there, because, you know, the camp, although, I mean, yes, it has my name on it, but this camp is such a large team puts it on. And obviously the leaders of that community are a big part of it, and that's the reason it's there. I mean, that's where I went to high school, and to go back there and do something like that and be a part of that and still get to be a part of that community is very important. And with so many of those people in leadership positions, with such a tragedy happening and affecting, obviously we could, you know, obviously you can say it's had a worldwide effect, but the leaders in that community are just tremendous. And, you know, even though they went through such a terrible, you know, event last year, they said, we want to keep going on, because it gives us a chance to, you know, A, do something that the kids love, and B, try to create a little bit of normalcy. So we went ahead with it, and, I mean, it was such a great weekend. And, you know, we're going to keep doing it for as long as we can.
Kelly Bates joining us here in the Wheaton Kia Hotline, a Humboldt native, longtime CFLer, not only as a player, but a coach as well, and at the university level too. Kelly, in terms of Humboldt, just to wrap up the thought there, it'll never be the same. The town will never be the same. But are you sensing that the healing process is well underway?
You know, everybody grieves differently. And, you know, I don't think it's fair for me to sit here and say how, you know, give a vast outlook of what it's like, because I don't live it every day. I'm not there every day, but I do have connection with people that are there. And as I said, that community is full of such great leaders and great people. And, you know, I think that it'll always be on its way. I think people will be at different steps of the process. And, you know, as a result, you know, it's made them tighter. It's made them, you know, it's brought out it's brought out the opportunity to come together closer as a community. And that's really what you see when they go home. You know, we get the chance to go home and be there for a little bit. You get to see people that have come together from all walks of life, supporting each other and helping each other throughout the entire process.
This is Kelly Bates. Got his camp going on 13 years now in the Humboldt area. Gets the kids ready for the football season. So give us the details on the camp, the meat and potatoes. What ages are we looking at? And what's the skill level here?
Skill level is not important. It's about learning the game of football. If you have the will and the want, we've got the coaches and we've got the structure to put you in a position to learn about the game of football. And, you know, we've had kids come through the camp that have gone on to play in the CFL, and we've had kids come into the camp that play at the high school level. And really, it's about giving kids the opportunity to learn. And, you know, I'm proud to say this year we'll have our first female participants. You know, anybody that wants to come out and play in the game, learn the game, work hard, you know, check it out. Go to kellybates.ca, all registrations online, and if you got any questions, feel free to phone me or email me. I'm always here.
What's your favorite thing about football, Kelly Bates?
Oh, boy, I don't even know if I can answer that. That's a tough one. It's, you know, football has given me everything in my life. It's given me the opportunity to do what I love, play a game, coach a game. It's given me my family. It's given me a work ethic and an ability to build character and really just meet tremendous people and be a part of a community of tremendous people. So I think it's more of a wholesome approach, and I'm very thankful for everything that football's done for me.
Let's be honest here, and I'm a big supporter of female football, but Kelly Bates, did you ever think growing up and when you started this camp, you'd have females in your football camp?
Yes, I can honestly say yes. I can remember coaching while playing junior football in Saskatoon, And I can remember a grade 9 girl playing high school football, Evan Hardy, and how good she was. And I thought, this is going to keep going, and this is a great thing.
That's outstanding. So how many kids do you accept into the camp? Is it like a one-day camp, Kelly, or is it a couple days?
It's a two-day camp. You're going to get over 12 to 13 hours of instruction on field and 3 to 4 off the field. We have professional trainers come in and take the kids through a program. And it's a two-day camp over 2 days out of beautiful St. Peter's campus, which is a little University of Saskatchewan satellite campus just outside of Humboldt.
Thanks for taking time out of your schedule, and thanks for giving back to the community, too.
Thank you very much.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca.
All right, and we're joined on the phone now by the head coach of the U of S Huskies. That would be Scott Flory. How are you today, Scott?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Good, man. Okay, so it's a big week for you guys. Spring camp opens, and it opens with the Dogs Breakfast, which is going to have a nice theme to it this year as we're celebrating 30 years of one of the greatest games ever played in CFL history, the 1989 Grey Cup Championship, the Riders beating Hamilton 43-40, November 26, 1989. Scott, where did you watch that game?
I was just a young buck, just a teenager back then. I remember watching it, and you know, just being a fan of the league and everything. And then all of a sudden, heading to South Albert Street, and people were driving around and cheering. And that's all. I think I was in the car with my dad or something, or older brother. And anyway, and that's what I remember from that night. And then that Christmas, I think everybody had a Grey Cup Champion T-shirt in their stocking stuffer.
What an ugly sweatshirt!
Hey man,
it was because I had one. I had one too. I had the green one, and then I had the white one. Remember the white one with all the names from all the guys on the team on it? Remember that one?
Yeah, I think that's the one I had. Yeah.
Scott Flory joining us from the U of S Huskies. Was there any way Ridgeway was missing that kick?
I doubt. I think that just when you look at, the guy's a Hall of Famer, right? Like, so when you look at the moments like that, guys just, you know, certain guys have a tendency to rise up, and he was just one of those guys that obviously did it throughout his career. That's why, that's why a guy gets to where he's at. And, I don't think he, 100 times, I don't think he would have missed it.
My old brick TV, you kind of had the wide top at the top there. It's not thin now like the panel TVs. So I hung my rosary off the TV and closed my eyes. I was like, I've watched enough bad football, but it went through. So you talk about guys rising to the occasion. Who on your roster do you see as a guy that's going to rise to an occasion? I see Claussen as one of those guys.
Yeah, no, we've got a, that's just part of university football. We've lost a few guys. We lost our starting quarterback. We lost our starting tailback from last season. So, and obviously in our defensive end, a Regina guy and Tristan Kronkowitz and obviously other impact guys, but that's just part of the process of moving on. And we had a lot of guys step up for us last year, and we expect the same moving forward. And absolutely, Colton Claussen was one of those guys, just a gamer, just a guy that steps up. And, you know, you're looking for those kind of guys that, you know, when you need them at their best, they're at their best. And at the end of it, your best players have to be your best players. And he was one of those guys for sure for us last year, as was Chow and numerous others.
You lose Kyle Siemens, but fortunately, you've always had the best backup plan in Mason Nye. So you could just step right in there and throw that ball around the field.
Yeah, right from the first time I met him when he came up here for a recruiting visit, I was like, okay, we need this guy. For sure. I mean, Mason, you know, I'm not shy about, throwing praise on him just because I just know how good he is, and I know how much he's going to accomplish here in university football. He could have been a starter somewhere else for the last couple of years for sure, and bought his time here behind a great quarterback in Kyle Siemens. But there's no doubt Mason's ready to step up and lead this football team.
So how important is a spring camp for setting a tone for you for taking that next step? Because you guys had a nice run last year, came up a little short in the semifinal. How important is this spring camp kind of in your third year to set the tone?
Yeah, no, I think it is. You know, we've had some good spring practices so far. This is an opportunity to get all of our recruits in here and get a look at them and get them indoctrinated into what we do and the culture and how we operate. And for them to feel the size and the speed adjustment of the game. Like I said, we've been progressing this whole winter. The guys don't miss workouts. Guys don't miss. It's just not a part of what we do and not a part of our team culture. And just to bring and indoctrinate that into the new guys and really show opportunity for those guys to show, because after this weekend we nothing's written in stone, but we have an idea as a coaching staff, and we slot guys into where we see them coming into the fall, and this is a big opportunity for a lot of guys to show how far they've come this winter.
Off the top of your head, can you name any couple recruits we can keep our eyes on that have joined your program, either just from the high school ranks this year?
Oh, well, I think, there's numerous guys. I'm excited to see the future at quarterback in a guy like Keegan Cater. Got another kid, Jordan Rusnak, out of Yorkton. Keegan's out of Regina. A couple kids out of Lethbridge. A couple old linemen, highly recruited guys, Kalen Betts and Jackson Baker, both really good young linemen. And we've had some impact guys that have come over from the Hilltops. First thought I'd go back is Ramsey Dervis. I think he's one of the best young linebackers in the country, bar none. And then Nick Daly coming over. He's a CFL caliber player in defensive line with Connor Delahaye, linebacker, and Logan Bitts in the back end, and Josh Iwachina at the running back position to complement Adam Mackert. So we've been very fortunate to be able to add a few of these guys that are going to be immediate impact guys for us.
We started this interview, Scott, talking about how the Riders and what the Riders mean to Saskatchewan and Regina with the 89 Grey Cup Championship. And I think it's kind of neat to wrap this interview up talking about how Saskatoon cares about the Huskies. And there's no better example of that than the Dogs Breakfast this week, where we're going to see these legends from the 89 team addressing your crowd. Just talk about the highlight that is the Dogs Breakfast.
I did an interview last week, and I was just thinking about, reflecting on what's the most important part. And just we're going to have 1,500 people up here at Prairie Land, and it's just the energy in the room and just the excitement about the game of football and just how much football is ingrained in the fabric of our community, province-wide. And I think that just, you look at it from the professional ranks on down to the four amateur teams down to high school level and minor football, and just how important it really is, and it's just such a great moment for us and our guys to understand just how supported and how much this program means to this community and to the province, and then for those new guys that are coming in from out of town, from Manitoba, from Alberta, that to show them just how big a deal it is.
That's Scott Foer, head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Michael. You bet. Have a good one.
Growing the game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca. And their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at RivieraAgSeeds.ca. That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.